Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of Digital Drift. My name is Francis, and I'm your host today. I'm not alone, as usual. Antonia is joining us all the way from the UK.
Hello, guys. Nice to be here again.
So nice to be here. So Digital Drift is that podcast where we talk about everything Nigerian tech. And today, appropriately, we'll be speaking to one person who has been like the main curator of everything Nigerian tech. So today we'll be talking with Bankole of Tech Cabal for this episode. So hi, Bankole. How's it going?
Good. I feel really honored to be on the show. Listening to quite a few episodes, like every episode actually. So thanks.
So straight off the bat, there are many questions, right? I mean, you guys have been doing wonderful stuff. Tech Cabal Battlefield. Now, you know, the one that is hot off the press is Radar. It's like everyone kind of, you know, aggregates there these days. Everyone has to do anything with Nigerian tech and surprisingly African tech too. Really, how did you get into voting of blogging and maybe tech blogging specifically?
How I came to be a technology blogger is a story that, interestingly, I've been asked to tell quite a few times this year. So I guess more people are curious about what we've been doing with Tech Cabal and why. So, I mean, I never get tired of telling the story. I stumbled into technology blogging in 2010, close to the end of 2010, by an event called Barcamp that I attended at the time. And I think I remember seeing you, Francis, sitting in the doorway. I think you were doing registrations or something. I cannot remember what exactly, but yeah, you were doing something, and then you had these cards called Mobnia thing on.
Yeah.
On there, and I really remember not on what that was about because it was supposed to be some SMS thingy, and it was just all new to me, like the whole experience. I came randomly via some Facebook event invite thingy. You know, and I thought this might just be an interesting place to go because already I had this affinity for technology that wasn't getting fed, and I was at home preparing for bar finals, and I thought this would be some, you know, a good way to divert myself. So
quickly. So you had nothing to do with tech, like you weren't a tech person before getting.
No, absolutely nothing. Absolutely, I mean, unless you count like having a laptop.
Yeah, that year was Barcamp Nigeria 2010. It was
2010.
Yeah, it was being organized by Sheriff Shitu. I mean, that's how I met you back then in 2010. Since then, you've come a long way. I think shortly after that, you started with Techloy.
Yeah, so what actually happened after Barcamp was I saw quite a few things and met quite a few people during that event. That was where I heard about Iroko TV for the first time. Obviously, I was hearing about a ton of stuff for the first time. So, Clue demoed on that day, Raphael. I saw Chikan Wobi, and he was telling his inspiring story about how he came back from the US and started MTEL and all of that stuff. And I was just so inspired that I went back home and I started to write. By serendipity, my writing came to the attention of Loy, who got in touch and to say, basically, you're a great writer. Do you want to write on Techloy? And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? I started to write on Techloy. Wonder of wonders, people were interested in what I had to say.
Do you remember your first post? I've never asked a blogger this, but is there like that first post that really made you think, look, this is what I've been called to in life or something like that?
I don't know that there was any point where I decided that this was my calling, or maybe that is not too accurate actually. I started writing about apps, like apps that I used and how technology affected my personal life. Okay. And that was why I started blogging for Techloy. It wasn't even about startups and, you know, business and any of that, or entrepreneurship or any of that stuff. It was Snaptu. And I was writing about Snaptu. That was the time when Facebook was going to shut down. They acquired Snaptu and they were going to shut it down. And I was pissed because this was an app that had come to be central to my life. Like all my social networks are on there, RSS feeds, everything. And I knew they were going to kill it. I don't know how I knew that, but it just looked like they were going to duplicate all the functionality. Mm-hmm. You know, so that was how I started writing on Techloy. But I began to go to events and began to become interested in the startup grind. No pun intended. and there was this, I think there was a time when I had this, you know, philosophical conversation with Loy about like why were we writing about iPhones and telco announcements, like basically things that were very, very far away from the local context and didn't really concern us, you know, because why are you writing about an iPhone when the thing is like 8 time zones away from you, and when the thing launches, it's probably 3 a.m. in Nigeria, and you're not going to see the device until like a whole month until after it's launched and has been reviewed by TechCrunch. So what kind of review are you doing, you know, 2 months after the phone has actually been in the wild and everyone knows about it? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. You're trying to compete with media publications who are bigger, faster, in the zone, and have more resources. You know, and why, in my mind, you know, I thought that it would not just make sense to cover local startups because we cared about them, but also strategically just made more sense because they're right next to us. You know, like, tell these stories because it's just easier to do. It wasn't an opinion that many people agreed with, Laura included. So I think that was when I wrote that post where I said I was done competing with TechCrunch, and the response was amazing. I was like, it's time to go local. Let us tell the stories of startups. And maybe that might have been the defining moment, you know, where I was like, you know what, screw it. We're going to, you know, write about, I don't know. It wasn't like I said in that moment that I'm going to become a tech blogger, but yeah. That was, I think, when my focus on, you know, the local technology ecosystem crystallized.
And, you know, fast forward now, you've been mentioned as the top tech blog in Nigeria. That's Techable.
Well, I don't really put much stock in mentions or...
Okay.
You know, I mean, we're like humble and grateful, like whenever yeah. people say that, you know, but we just like keep our heads down and...
Okay, let's look at some hard stuff.
And do the I work.
Mean, how's the numbers like? Are there more people like myself and perhaps Antonia?
Techable, when I started it out, it was supposed to be a conversation. And again, going back to the fact that I have practically no technology background or experience, you know, so I'm not nearly by any measure the smartest guy in the room. I'm like the dumbest guy in the room when it comes to like technology ecosystem. And I recognize that like super early. So what I tried to do with Techable from the beginning was to start a conversation as opposed to trying to, you know, be some expert pontificating or talking down at the ecosystem. It was supposed to be a community where the experts could come have insightful conversations about what was going on in the Nigerian and by extension the African technology ecosystem. It was supposed to. And I tried, you know, to really get people, you know, into that conversation. I mean, you contributed quite a few really good pieces in the early days, you know, when you still had time, you know, before you started driving your enterprise empire. And, you know, we got pretty good contributions early on. And, you know, the comments would be off the charts. Like every so often I would write something that was interesting, but really the conversation was really driven by experts in the ecosystem who I made a point of reaching out to, you know, to try and help drive that conversation. But over time, Techable became more newsy because there was just the imperative to cover the ecosystem from a news perspective. What is going on? Who is launching what? What apps are, you know, going on the App Store? What are new developments? And we realized that the community was great, but we also needed to inform people. So the focus shifted from community, and not deliberately, but, you know, iteratively. It was just like we found ourselves like doing more news. And news tends to clog up the fire hose. So there's just so much signals coming at people that it was hard to have a conversation, which made us realize that we needed to recapture the old days of Techable where we actually had a community and a conversation going, hence Radar. Radar is all about bringing back the real cabal out of Techable, like bringing back the old cabal.
Yeah. I mean,
and, that, you know, that makes sense. And they both have, you know, very separate but complementary functions. And we're really happy with what's going on right now.
That makes a lot of sense.
Thank you.
I could go on and on. But I mean, I have like a whole list of questions here, but I don't know if Antonia wants, you know, so I don't like monopolize this conversation.
wants to jump in at this point.
Where I come in, I'm always asking, I always want to know the journey of how a person got to wherever they are and how they actually want to affect people in their environment. And I think that's something that is major for Nigeria. And I wonder how, you know, Techable has any vision for doing that, or like bringing up the next generation of tech bloggers, or, you know, if there's anything you're doing on that side of things, it would be great to hear.
That is actually a really thoughtful question. Thank you for that, because as it turns out, this is something that we have had a bit of difficulty, you know, communicating to some people in the ecosystem who think that we are dumb pipes, you know, and all they want to do is, hey, talk about us, or hey, look at us, we're so cool, or why are you not publishing my, you know, really spammy press release? And why are you asking questions, you know, because you're asking too many questions, you know, so it really is not your business who our investors are, or how much we raised, or what we're going to do with it, you know, just like publish the damn PR, you know. But I tell people, like, the lights are on, you know, we have brains and we see the patterns and we are curious, because people come to Tech Cabal not just because they want to be informed. You know, Twitter can do that. You know, there's no shortage of technology blogs, you know, across Africa that are pushing news, but you know, people come to Tech Cabal because they expect us to have an angle, an opinion, you know, some insight into what is going on. And if you really, really want to be on Tech Cabal, then you have to give us the story, or you have to help us understand what is going on. You know, that way we can inform the audience. So we're not media dumb pipes. We started out to add value to the ecosystem first by starting a conversation, obviously, and helping people to learn more about what was going on, help them identify the opportunities. I mean, there's so many silos, and you know, you have startups like who don't know who their competitors are, or even more importantly, who their potential collaborators are, you know, so that you know, you can begin to explore synergies and strategic partnerships. You know, and investors are looking like, you know, who's doing something interesting, what are the opportunities to back here, local and foreign. You know, so it was all about bringing sunlight into a very, very opaque space. Really, that is what Tech Cabal is about. It's not just about pushing news or, you know, giving digital high fives, as it were. It's about trying to get knowledge and insight into the space. And not only that, not only adding, you know, value from a media capacity, but with our offline events and interactions and things like that, we're actually hoping that we can foster, and not hoping, but we actually have fostered, you know, real life actions and connections, brokered, you know, interesting synergies, you know, that happen between people. Lots of serendipity, you know, happens in the events that we have done. And we hope to ramp that up, you know, in the, you know, next part of 2015 that we're going into. You'll be seeing significantly a lot of offline interaction where we're just like, you know, doing our best to add value in other ways apart from just like pushing news. And to speak to your question of whether we are developing the next generation of technology bloggers, absolutely. In fact, the interesting thing is that the people that have worked with me, starting actually in 2014, when you know the people that work at TechPoint. So there's this new blog called TechPoint. Relatively new, it's been around for a few months. You know, those are all people that I've worked with. You know, they're my people, and we have a great relationship. And they worked with me for, you know, some time, and now they're doing, you know, pretty awesome stuff, because the photography that they do and the human interest angles that they take on some of the things that we're not able to cover on the ecosystem, I find really, really fascinating. And I think, you know, you guys are doing an awesome job. So in that way, you know, there's alumni of Tech Cabal like running around Lagos and actually doing stuff. And that is just one. You know, also internally, our newsroom is, you know, building the next generation of, you know, technology bloggers. And since January, we've been working with, you know, interns who we've just been like introducing into the space. So you will see that, you know, it's not just Banco. They actually have had less of a presence on the website, and it's just other people who have been writing up the content. And I oversee like that process, but, you know, I'm not really as, you know, overbearing or, as you know, all dominating as I used to be. It's other people, and those people are growing every day. The writing is getting better. The insights, the patterns they can see, the value that they can bring to a story increases every day. And I can tell you that, you know, before the end of 2015, there'll be other, in quotes, stars, tech blogging stars that will come out of Tech Cabal, that will be working inside of Tech Cabal, and will be, I hope, you know, doing really, really incisive and impactful coverage of the technology ecosystem.
Good.
I don't want to mention their names right now, you know, so that I don't put them on the spot, you know, so like you guys will not go target them. Because when I'm on the road, people will be like, Bankole, when next we see you, we're going to cut off your hair.
Cool. Everybody is like looking up to Silicon Valley, right? There are some things we can lift hook, line, and sinker. But what for you are like the key differences, or what from covering this kind of stories and from having that perspective, what differentiates us from, you know, Silicon Valley?
It's, I cannot have a different opinion from yours. I always from day one thought that the focus or the fixation on Silicon Valley and TechCrunch and all of that stuff, you know, I think there's like lessons you can learn from there, you know, but you cannot just import these things wholesale. And African innovations will be unique because it's an entirely different context, you know, way people will solve problems, the way they will approach stuff. There is things that you can learn. You can learn the broad principles, the broad strokes, but in terms of the actual execution, there will always be different things, you know. So online payments, for instance, have been screwed since, you know, I know, and this is something that I ranted about like since I became, since I was a baby blogger and I'm now the person I am now. You like, you know, ranted about that, and you know, what did people like Conga and Jumia do? They innovated around that, you know. And they introduced cash on delivery, you know, which just, it doesn't scale, in the words of who was that now?
Is it Bradfeld? Bradfeld or who?
Graham.
Okay, Paul Graham.
Paul Graham, you know, do things that don't scale. You know, it doesn't scale, but it turns out that it was super effective, and it was the only way that they could gain the trust of the consumers, who obviously were wary of putting their cards online. And even if they wanted to put their cards online, you know, the ecosystem was not making it easy to do those transactions. You know, so things will always be different. We just need to like figure out what the key learnings are. But one thing I should just point out is that, you know, the entrepreneurs who are seduced by the whole Silicon Valley narrative, I find it very, you know, interesting that they have a double standard in terms of the fact that, you know, you see all of the great things that people are doing there, and like they raise a ton of money off the back of that. And you want, in their minds, TechCrunch quality coverage, you know, but you don't want to create TechCrunch quality solutions. You know, and if people had thought about like this thing that I'm pitching, you know, to the community, like you people use this, like or when they say things like why am I not getting press, you know, if you had pitched that to TechCrunch, would you have gotten attention? You know, like if you thought about it that way, then you would work more on your product before looking for press, as opposed to, you know, so as opposed to, you know, like, you know, so when we want to apply those standards, like maybe we should actually just like go to the logical extreme with it, which is I want things to happen in a TechCrunch Silicon Valley way. Therefore, I will work in a TechCrunch Silicon Valley mindset. If you build stuff that is kick-ass, you'll get kick-ass press. You'll get kick-ass funding. You'll get kick-ass attention. You know, but it is a double standard that I find to be pretty fascinating.
There's stuff to pick up from them, but at the end of the day, this needs to be abstracted at the same level of excellence. I think that's what you're driving at, right?
Yes. In a roundabout, very inarticulate way, I think so. You captured it.
Yeah, interesting.
So from your view, what are the interesting things happening now that we haven't gotten a whiff of?
What, you're asking me to tell you the scoops I'm working on? How sneaky, sneaky, Tony. I mean, like, I love you guys, you know, but I mean, like, I've written about stuff that I get calls and emails like, oh my God, why did you write about that thing now? Like, take it down. and like, some of it, like, is, I mean, there's lots of, like, cool stuff happening that if I told you right now, I'd have to kill you because there's people that will come kill me, you know. So I don't know, like if you ask me any question about something, you know, I will answer, you know, but I'm not telling you like any exclusives, because there's some of these things that have been embargoed for like 6 months, which is pretty screwed up, you know, because I really wish we were not really that cagey it seems to be a Nigerian thing where we want people to only talk about the good stuff, and when we want them to talk about the good stuff, it's only like, you know, just talk about it to some extent, like worship us, you know, but don't talk about what we're doing. Don't talk about our metrics, don't talk about our numbers, don't talk about, you know, the strategic implications for the space. Just say we're awesome, which I find to be, I think it's bullshit, you know, and because you don't tell us anything, we're not able to understand what is going on. And because we don't understand what is going on, we're not able to add value to our coverage. We're not able to give insights to the ecosystem. And these same people will come and say, oh, there's nothing interesting going on, you know, but you don't tell us anything, you know, really interesting. And when you do find out stuff, they try to censor it. It is something that, I mean, I was actually even talking on radar the other day that it actually will be easier to write about cats, you know, than write about Nigerian entrepreneurs, because they are so cagey. And it doesn't really help them, because, you know, no one is going to know about what you're doing if, you know, you keep a tight lead on everything. You don't have to tell us the core or like business critical stuff that will make your competitors come, you know, cash in on your advantage or anything. But you can look at patterns and trends, or, you know, interesting things that are going on with your business, and share that with the rest of the ecosystem, and people can learn, you know. So when I was talking about how the iHub was cooler than the CC Hub, a lot of people took offense. Really? And didn't really, and it's not just the iHub cooler than the CC Hub, it's actually like the Kenyan technology ecosystem is cooler. And when I say cooler, it's cooler in quotes, because it is a perception. What the Kenyan ecosystem has gotten is that it's very, very important to tell your story and to be transparent. Nigerian entrepreneurs are crushing it, but because they don't talk, nobody knows. We create so much value, but because we feel that we want to keep the competitive advantage, or we don't want anybody else to know what we're doing, or we think that someone's going to steal our idea, we're just going to sit on everything. And then we wonder why funding is not coming, or why we can't find strategic partnerships. What do they say about advertising? If you don't tell anybody what you're doing, it's like dark. Nobody will know. The Kenyan technology ecosystem shares, and they share prolifically. And that is why everybody makes beeline for Nairobi when they want to come to Kenya, to the African technology ecosystem. They tell their story. We need to get better at telling our stories. And how to get better at telling our stories is to talk to tech about. Tell me everything.
So I've got actually three questions. One is, you mentioned about what conversations you have through Tech Cabal and offline conversations as well. Aside from the tech battlefield, what other kind of events do you run?
What other events do we do? The other event that we've done that has been, I wouldn't say popularly accepted, because it's been an exclusive interaction. So it's been popularly accepted within the circles where it is known, as something called Tech Cabal Sessions. And what we've done is, with that particular thing, is we do exclusive informal meetups with leaders in the ecosystem. And we invite people to that via email privately. Okay. And we've done two editions of that. The first one we did in 2013. The other one we did in 2014, just to see, you know, how people respond to that. Because then again was when we were testing the waters in terms of, you know, how do we go about doing offline interactions and stuff. And we've learned so much from just doing those Tech Cabal sessions that now we are prepared to do much larger events that are all inclusive and include more of the community. So watch out for those coming out very soon. Sooner than you think, in fact.
Cool. It'll be nice to attend one of them. Tech Cabal is underneath Cabal Media or something like that.
Big Cabal Media.
Oh, okay. Big Cabal. What is that?
Big Cabal Media is a media company. That's all.
That's all.
Actually, no. Yeah, so it's a media company, and we do media stuff, from interactive media, advertising, consulting, okay, strategy. And that is the one half of the media arm. The other half is the content arm, which is Tech Cabal. And Tech Cabal is our flagship media product, which is obviously the technology blog that everybody knows and loves. It's everybody in our space. And there's also the stuff that we have in the pipeline that we've been working on. We have a newsletter about politics and news in Nigeria that comes out every morning at 9 a.m. It's called Republica. You can actually go to republica.ng to check that out, which people subscribe to. So you subscribe to that, you get news headlines summarized in your inbox every morning, Monday to Friday. And other cool stuff that we're working on in the pipeline that we will be sharing with people. I don't know if you remember during the whole Ebola scare, there was a website called EbolaFacts.com, which was an explainer about, you know, what Ebola was. And exactly, we did that. We did EbolaFacts.com. Not a lot of people know, but it was a big Kabal media.
That's an idea of the kind of things you can read. That we are into.
We're also working on telling our story better, you know.
And that's why you're here, right? And
that is why we're here. I mean, it would be weird if I went and started jumping all over Tech Kabal and say, hey, look at us, we're big Kabal media, right? Because
thanks. Hoping to see more. I mean, I think I don't see enough of Nigerian stuff right now because I would really have to go searching for it. For example, just came across a game and I was like, how come I didn't see this on my timeline or something? You know, I think there's space for a lot more to happen, and I'm glad that you guys have, you know, I think you raised the bar for technology reports in Nigeria, and, you know, I'm glad to
Depending on who you ask, right?
No, I mean, I think that's objective, really.
I think it is.
Well, thank you. Yeah. That means a lot. That is a holy grail for me and Tech Kabal and for everyone else who's joining. By the way, we're hiring. We're looking for writers.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, so if you want to join what is by every stretch of, you know, by no contenders, the most fun newsroom in Nigeria, editor@techkabal.com, send me an email if you think you've got what it takes.
Thank you.
I have this theory about what happened in the Bern Patent Office. So Bern, I think it's Bern in that Switzerland, right? And there was a young guy there many years ago. I'm trying to remember the particular year, but he was like a clerk in the patent office for many years, and you know, you have all these scientific patents and he had to like look at them and all those kind of stuff. And many years later, that young fellow, I mean, everyone got to know his name. I mean, I'm talking about Einstein, right? So I mean, I think you're in that position, right? Because you're curating all this interesting stuff happening. You really literally know everything about startups, where startups are going, so the products people love and all that kind of stuff. Do you see yourself building like a tech startup other than Tech Kabal?
This is an interesting question. Obviously, the most interesting question. For me personally, I don't know whether other people find it interesting, but Tech Kabal is something that, you know, was a personal, it was like, oh, this is really cool stuff and nobody's talking about it and I can write. And people like what I'm writing. So I'm just going to roll with this.
You've had like, you know, people like, is it Paris Lemon? I think that's his name.
Yeah, it's MG Siegler.
Sorry.
Paris Lemon is a Twitter handle.
Sorry, MG Siegler of TechCrunch.
TechCrunch.
Yeah.
Yes.
And now I think he's with Google.
Transition Bank. Into, you know, VC. You know, so the question you're actually asking is, what is the trajectory of a technology blogger, right?
I mean,
what is the trajectory? What does a technology blogger do after they don't want to blog anymore? And they do two things, like they go work for Google or they become an investor. I mean, as far as I've seen, you know, and I can give you concrete examples, not even foreign. I mean, you know MG Siegler, you know Michael Arrington, you know Michael Carney, Pando.
Yeah.
And I'll give you African examples. Eric Herzman, who obviously was a maker, you know, from the beginning, but he was probably the most prolific blogger that East Africa had. And his blog is, you know, one of the biggest companions of knowledge about how the East African, or Kenyan, Nairobian technology ecosystem evolved. It's just such a rich treasure trove of history, you know, for that community. And, you know, he did Ushahidi with collaborators and then transitioned into iHub and then transitioned into Savannah Fund. And he's started at least 8 companies that I'm aware of, you know, actively involved in those. You know, his latest baby right now is Gearbox. And that was right after Brick. you know, like all, and he's like crushing it. He's crushing it all over the world, you know. So that is a very inspiring story. And if I ended up that way, that would not be bad, you know, I think. and you've also got Mitch Atagana,
yeah.
You know, who for me was the greatest technology blogger in Africa, period. You know, she ran Burn Media and Mimburn, VentureBurn, that whole group, you know, covering startups across Africa. There was totally no place they would not go, you know, to just talk about startups. We actually flew her in February 2014 to be one of the judges on the battlefield. And, you know, she, you know, now that she's no longer, you know, with VentureBurn and Mimburn, she's now a Googler. And it's been an amazing transition for her because she just gets to do like really awesome, cool stuff across sub-Saharan Africa and even beyond. And that is also not a bad exit, in quote,
yeah.
You know, for a technology blogger. So basically, it's like, you know, evaluate the options that, you know, that are available to you. I mean, for the nearest future, Techobal is my, you know, is what I wake up to do every morning, is what I and live, breathe, sleep, dream.
Mm-hmm.
I dream about Techobal. Like, that's what I'm doing. In 2014, when we're doing the battlefield thing, we're going to give out $20,000. People will walk up to me and they didn't believe that I would actually last this long. And they would ask me stuff like, is this all you do? And I was like, yeah, this is all I do. And this is all I'm going to be doing for a while.
So I think it's a brand.
For the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
But then again, don't forget that Big Cabal Media subsumes Techobal. And there's other exacting stuff that we're working on in there that you will, you know, get to learn about. So this is not, Techobal is my main focus, but it's not all I'm working on. Is, you know, there's a larger media vision that we have,
yeah.
And that we are very, very eager to share with the rest of the world.
Hmm.
And you guys will see it.
So it's been wonderful. I mean, nice conversation, and we'll be keeping our eyes really open, you know, following the Techobal story. I mean, we want to say thank you, Bankole, for, you know, coming on this episode of Digital Drift. It's been wonderful speaking with you.
Oh my God, the pleasure is mine.
Yeah.
Totally. Like, thank you so much for helping kick off my career as a guest podcaster. Hey, but thank you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Just to say, we look forward to having you again, okay, because you have so much stuff,
yeah.
But unfortunately, we have so much time just for one episode. So we look forward to having you on another episode in the near future. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been Mr. Bankole of Techobal on this episode of Digital Drift. A lot of insights, and I'm sure people have questions. You know, you can follow us on SoundCloud. You can follow us on our website, digitaldrift.me. And we'll be happy to get all the feedback you have. So until next time, it's bye-bye from me.
See you guys. It's been good. Thank you, Bankole, once again.
Thank you. See you all.
So bye. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.